Sit back, relax, and enjoy as Don Tony gives you news and reviews from AEW, NXT, and indie wrestling too.
Know what's happening in the world of wrestling without the hate and clickbait.
It's Wednesday night, Dynamite.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
Take me in, oh tender woman. Take me in, for heaven's sake. Take me in, tender woman, sighed the snake. I saved you, cried the woman, and you bit me, even why? And you know your bite is poisonous. Now I'm gonna die. Oh, shut up, William Regal, said the reptile with a grin. You knew damn well I was a snake before you ever took me in. Please take me in, Mr. Regal. Take me in, for heaven's sake. Take me in, William Regal, you stupid motherfucker. I was always a snake. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to this edition of Wednesday Night Dynamite. You know, it's nights like this that make me feel oh so good. Yeah, that's not for the reasons that most men and women would say that, but how many of you got this the last couple of weeks? MJF babyface turn. The fans dictated it. We're getting a babyface turn. What other shows out there said all along that MJF was never turning babyface? Who said all along that MJF has to attack William Regal? It was last Sunday when we were talking about, is MJF going to embrace William Regal's help, or is the devil going to turn on the serpent? Tonight, on it, you know, it's amazing to see so many people. They can't be this stupid, everyone. They can't be this stupid. I'm talking about all those podcasters and all those news sites that did it, set a totally different narrative for the last month, and now they act all shocked and surprised. When does it get to the point that people start saying, you know, these people know the deal? But you know what? That doesn't get them all the attention, you know? So tonight, MJF comes out. William Regal brings him out. First of all, they introduce a variation of the AEW championship. You know, based on MJF, his style, you know, we have a new look. The Burberry-style AEW championship. I like it. It's actually a pretty good style. Mutton Hatchuk, thank you very much for the 10 spot, my friend. He says, keep up the good work. I will always do this for all of you out there. I will never succumb to the clickbait temptation that everybody likes to do. And, you know, I take pride that everybody actually, like, pays attention to what we talk about. But, you know, showing on the screen right now for those on audio only, you know, just showing some of the new design. Look, the metal itself is the same, but the leather part of it is different. I like it. It's a nice little style. Nothing wrong with changing it up a little bit. But obviously the big news coming out of today was after MJF totally eviscerated Indiana, totally eviscerated the fans. For every goof leading up to even today that thought that MJF was still the baby face, and you know, I mean, I think after tonight you realize motherfucker was the devil, was the snake all along. Nothing was changing whatsoever. And William Regal, when he had his back turned, MJF, brass knuckles, boom, whacked him, whacked him. What's that game that always said wasted? What was that, Grand Theft Auto Vice City or whatever it was? MJF just wasted William Regal. Now, which version would you like, everyone? Would you like the actual truth, or should I clickbait it and tease both sides of the coin so you really don't know what the fuck is going on with William Regal's contract? Should we tease and clickbait a little bit about scripts? Or should we get a little boring and actually tell you what WWE is actually doing with regards to scripts? We'll talk about scripts a little bit later. William Regal, you know, the big buzz the last 2 weeks is he leaving AEW? You know, some people said it was a one-year deal. Now people are saying it's a three-year deal. As I said yesterday on Patreon, William Regal does a podcast. Why don't people ask William Regal? Why don't people ask Matt Kuhn to ask William Regal, hey, Mr. Regal, do you want to clear up what these reports are with your AEW deal? How come nobody does that? How come people would just rather just post whatever the fuck they think is going to get them attention? Look at the elite CM Punk stuff the last week. That CM Punk is unhappy at the elite. No shit. But we'll talk about the truth about that in a little as well. We're going to clear up some shit today. But as far as William Regal, whether it's a one-year deal or a three-year deal, we talked about a few scenarios last night on Patreon. And one possible scenario could actually be a combination of both. You know, William Regal could have very well signed a three-year deal with AEW, but it could also be a possibility that William Regal can opt out after year one and maybe has the option of opting out again year two. Now, I emailed someone today, this afternoon, before I even saw on Dynamite that they pretty much wrote him off TV. And I asked this person, who is pretty, you know, close to the situation, I said, do you know anything about William Regal's contract or what the deal is with him? Because even last week, I mean, let's be honest, that storyline explanation last week with Jon Moxley, Bryan Danielson, and why William Regal did what he did was just stupid, asinine. You know, when the fans were chanting bullshit, and obviously I didn't do a show last Wednesday because I was on a little mini vacation, but the fans chanting bullshit, it's not because it was Bizarro Land or Chicago or anything like that. It's just the storyline is fucking stupid. And let's be honest, a lot of tonight was stupid as well because the firm attacks MJF, that William Regal decides to stab the entire Blackpool Combat Club in the back and offers advice for William Regal how to dethrone. I mean, let's be honest. You know, AEW is very, very heavy in having people turn. And people are more excited about the turn because they didn't see it coming instead of the actual logic behind it. You know, I don't know if people are starting to notice that. You know, like Tony Schiavone could say all he wants in interviews and how much he hates disqualification outcomes. Well, guess what? When you don't, if AEW actually enforced the rules, they would have three times the number of disqualifications that WWE has on their shows. But because, look, hey, that's like saying, hey, you know, let's cut down crime. And instead of actually trying to stop people from committing crimes, you just close your eyes. You know, if the cops go for donuts instead and they don't arrest the person on the corner, hey, guess what? You know, this week we didn't have any crimes. We didn't arrest that. We had no arrests. We had no this. You know, if you don't enforce the fucking rules, sure you're not going to have any disqualification outcomes. But let's also be honest. How many fucking people are turning? And you think back and you're like, well, that kind of like makes no sense or that kind. But it was a turn. And it was a swerve. It was a side. Look at swerve. Speaking of the word swerve, look at swerving on glory. You know, last week, you know, hand over the mic or over the camera. Oh, swerve. Is he going to try to break Keith Lee's fingers? No. We hear audio. Let's talk. Let's discuss it. And they're going to talk again on Friday's Rampage. You know, people, I think, are just more about the Cracker Jack surprise. Hey, look, everybody, I got a free tattoo. Look, I got a swerve. Oh, look, I got a heel turn. I got a baby. Is Jade Cargill a heel or a baby face? Are we supposed to, like, be happy that Bow Wow is on our screen? I mean, are we supposed to be like, who the fuck are we actually supposed to give a shit here? What is it with AEW Tony Khan and his obsession with, like, you know, I don't know. I don't want to say hip-hop, but I don't know. There's just, like, they're putting people on the screen thinking that they're going to get a little bit of a rub in the hip-hop community. Or it just, I don't know. I don't know what that is, but am I supposed to cheer Jade Cargill or what? When Bow Wow brings Kiera Hogan out there, Are we supposed to cheer Kira? I'm assuming we're supposed to cheer Kira Hogan. What about when we thought Jamie Hayter was going to turn on the best one of the year, Daniel Garcia? I'm a fucking professional wrestler. And then for no reason whatsoever, he turns on Brian Danielson. No, no, no. I'm a sports entertainer. Well, man, you know how many dumb turns we have had this year? And nobody really, like, even talks about it. So, you know, the whole thing with William Regal is flawed. But for the person that I contacted earlier and I said, look, could you tell me anything about William Regal and his current status in AEW? And this is what I was told. Don't report it as news. Just report it amongst yourselves as, hey, DT's trying to get you answers. I was told that William Regal is taking a little time off, spend with family and spend with the holidays. That's all I know. There could be more to it. Maybe he needs a medical procedure. Maybe he's a little bit burned out. Maybe he misses his family. You know, we got the holiday season coming up. So we don't know. Anyone out there that has a site or a podcast that claims that they know the status of William Regal's deal is lying to you. Because the only people that truly know the truth is William Regal and Tony Khan and anybody William Regal told. And I guarantee you the people that William Regal told are not the people that are talking to the people online. People look at dates. Look at Tony D'Angelo. Did you see all those news sites when we first saw the WWE Hall of Famers trying to talk about who the participants were going to be in the Iron Survivor Challenge? Oh, I noticed it right away. If you saw that first segment on NXT yesterday, they were talking about who the male participants will be, and Tony D'Angelo's name came up. And I think it was Shawn Michaels that made a remark like, Tony D'Angelo is still weeks away from returning to the ring. And he said, and I swear to God, if you go on Twitter, there's still a few dumb schmucks that were not smart enough to delete their tweets. Literally 2 minutes later, wrestling news websites were reporting that they had exclusive news that Tony D'Angelo is not yet able to return to the ring. And obviously they based that on Shawn Michaels' very passing comment during that segment. Well, guess what? After Dijakovic beat Dante Chen, and by the way, if you look at Dante Chen, is it just me, everyone, or does he look like a Chinese 1-2-3 kid? And I say that as a compliment. I'm not even saying that as a joke. He reminds me of a little bit of the 1-2-3 kid, the way he wrestles, a little bit the way he looks. You know, I don't know. And it was funny because Sean Waltman actually, people are getting a little triggered. What do you want me to say? He's the Jamaican 1-2-3 kid? He's the Italian 1-2-3 kid? You think he's going to do an ECW FBI gimmick like Tommy Rich? Hey, how you doing? Or better yet, JT Smith. No, isn't he from China? He reminds me of a Chinese 1-2-3 kid. Nothing wrong with that. But after Dijakovic took care of Dante Chen, Dijak is in the parking lot, and who does he bump into? Tony D'Angelo and Stax. Hey, how you doing, Dijak? Hey, we got a bunch of things in common. And what happens? Tony D'Angelo, in a passing comment, says, hey, I'm returning to the ring next week. Some people online got kind of like exposed there. So suddenly everybody's got exclusive news. Hey, Tony D'Angelo cleared. Man, that was funny yesterday watching that. So anyway, so we go back to AEW because we'll just give you a quick overview as far as what went down tonight. A couple of news things. But just to summarize with William Regal, you know, nobody knows the length of his contract. The motherfucker does a podcast. Everybody out there should be tweeting Matt Coon right now or William Regal, hey, could you clear this up on the podcast? If William Regal does not want to address it, then William Regal comes on his podcast and says, listen, everybody, you know, unless you hear it from me, don't believe what you read or don't believe what you hear. And, you know, my contract situation is my personal business and I don't want to make it public. End of story. If people truly respect William Regal, they will leave it alone and move on. But as far as I was told today, they're giving William Regal a little bit of time off. Is it permanent? I have no idea. They took him out on a stretcher today. you know, a little bleeding from the mouth, talking about his past issues. My gut feeling is William Regal is going to be back. And I think that was done because we might get a feud between Bryan Danielson and MJF. Because let's also be a little bit realistic here. MJF is only the champion for 2 weeks. So you give it time. It's only appropriate. But we already have two challengers lined up for MJF. One we know, one we don't know yet. But one thing we do realize after a full month of him as being champion, as that guy has no feuds right now. He's feuding with nobody, you know? So attacking William Regal, Claudio, is Claudio going to go after MJF? I don't know. But you would think any members of the Blackpool Combat Club, you know, especially Bryan Danielson, what did he say last week to Jon Moxley? Like, when my father was dealing with what you had and, you know, William Regal, you know, out of everything, Bryan Danielson should be the one feuding with MJF. But as of right now, Ricky Starks is going to get a championship opportunity. And that's not based on a feud. That's about him winning a tournament match. Next week, they're doing a Dynamite Diamond Battle Royal. And the winner of that match gets the diamond ring and also gets a title shot. And they can have it whenever they feel like it. I don't know how that's going to go down, especially when MJF is champion. But the thing is, whoever wins that is going to get a title opportunity without a feud. So we have two people now who are going to be challenging MJF for a championship. And neither one is the results of a feud. You know, and William Regal, you know, yes, he helped MJF win. But, you know, obviously the Blackpool Combat Club will feel bad. Now, let's obviously talk about maybe the biggest problem here. And I don't know if people have even thought about this yet. But even if William Regal is not leaving, they fucked him up big time. Because why would the Blackpool Combat Club suddenly embrace William Regal? You stabbed all of us in the back. You helped MJF win the championship. If MJF didn't knock you out with brass knuckles, you'd still be in his corner. So why would the Blackpool Combat Club trust William Regal again? What is William Regal going to do? Apologize? Oh, yeah, all is forgiven. You know, now you think, you know, William Regal got attacked from MJF. So the man is on a desert island right now. So even if William Regal comes back, what is he going to do? Are they going to make him a general manager? Is he going to be a commentator? Like, what do you do now, William Regal? I mean, at least he was coming out on commentary during some of the BCC's matches. You can't even do that now. So even if he does return, you got to say to yourself, what is he going to do? Seriously, anybody have an answer? Post it in the comment section later. You know, I like Shock TV. I like surprises. Shit. You know, getting a mystery box is always fun. Getting envelopes from some of you, you know, viewer mail, you know, reader mail, you know, support. You know, it doesn't have to have money in the envelope. You know, just a little shout out. I'm like, hey, this is cool. Go check this out. You know, I like surprises. But I also like surprises that kind of make sense a little bit. So what do you do with William Regal when he returns? Right? All right. I thought this was hilarious earlier. Powerhouse Hobbs. You know, like after three and a half years, we don't know anything about Powerhouse Hobbs. So we're now getting these segments called The Book of Hobbs. And tonight they showed Powerhouse Hobbs walking along the streets of Los Angeles. And seriously, everyone, I thought this was one of the funniest segments in recent memory. If you didn't see Dynamite tonight, just let this picture sink in. And for my friends on audio only, what we're supposed to believe is there's five brothers from the hood on the streets of LA and they're playing street dice, you know, and they're obviously, you know, they're thugs. And Powerhouse Hobbs walks by, and let's be honest, when Powerhouse Hobbs is wearing all black outfit with a hoodie and you don't see his giant muscles, he ain't 6'10". You know, he looks like a kind of like a burly guy walking down the street. And when he walks by, they actually zoom in on the guys. And one guy is like, yo, 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 you know this guy? Yo, 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 watch him. And one of the motherfuckers actually puts his hands up like, yo, we don't want no beef with you. This is fucking L.A. This is gang violence. This is the hood. It's five guys against one. They don't stand there in the corner and get all intimidated about one guy walking down the street just wearing regular outfit. Nah, man. They'd be like, yo, what the fuck you looking at, bruh? Bruh, what are you looking at, bruh? You got a problem, bruh? You want to go play some dice, bruh? Keep fucking stepping, bruh. That's what you're going to do, bruh. Tony Khan, you should have contacted like Bow Wow and say, hey, how produce this segment for me. Oh my God, I watched that. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? What is this supposed to do for Powwow's Hobbs? Oh, I was bullied as a person. You've been bullying people on AEW for 3 fucking years. What are we supposed to do? Suddenly feel sorry? I don't know, man. You know, there was some segments tonight that should have been really spectacular. And when you actually, like, take a step back and you think about it, bruh, it just kind of like, I don't know, doesn't make sense. By the way, just random, since nobody thinks it's a big deal, I think it is. Happy 400 days, Mandy Rose. Mandy Rose today reached 400 days as NXT Women's Champion. I think Mandy Rose has improved significantly, and I keep thinking about that awful PWI toilet paper fucking magazine where she wasn't even in the top 10. And it's based on, you know, not just who you beat, but the number of matches. And they put people that have had like 7 matches an entire year. Speaking of 7 matches an entire year, tonight on Dynamite, we had Dax Harwood lose to Bryan Danielson to open up Dynamite. Well, as far as opening match, we did have a little confrontation before. And if you've been following me with the ratings, you know now what to expect on quarter one. Tony Khan has fallen into that trap that we talked about 3 months ago, the lead-in from the Big Bang Theory. So what does he do for quarter one? He always throws a Ring of Honor thing on there, or Bryan Danielson, or Chris Jericho, or Jon Moxley. It's household names as much as possible because he hopes that people that forgot to change the channel at 8 o'clock from TBS to something else who is watching Big Bang Theory. Hey, you know, hey, I know him. He's Daniel Bryan. Oh, let me keep it on the channel. Oh, my God, Jon Moxley, he's cursing up a storm. He's brawling. He's bleeding. And maybe I'll keep it on the channel a little bit. And they do that for quarter one. And then if you notice, every time we get to 8:14, and quarter one is just about over, and 150, 200, 300,000 viewers decide, hey, I'm changing the channel anyway. We go to picture in picture. We go to picture in picture because quarter one is over with. So we got, you know, a combination of both to open up the quarter. Moxley, who was confronted by a returning star, which we'll get into a few moments. And we had Bryan Danielson defeat Dax Harwood. I love the match with Dax Harwood and Bryan Danielson. The fans chanting, this is awesome, before it even locked up. I mean, that shows you that the fans are excited to see that match. But let's also remind everyone something that I've been talking about for 4 months now, that no one else out there will talk about, because you dare better not piss off the cool kids club out there, you know, and the people who want to be part of that inner circle with AEW. You know, let's talk about FTR. Let's talk about their 2022 and how it's closing out. You know, everybody's calling them the number one contenders in AEW. AEW Tag Team of the Year. I remind everyone a fact that nobody wants to talk about. FTR, no injuries. They teased an injury to Dax Harwood on a Ring of Honor match not too long ago. But 2022, pretty much injury free, if I recall. I don't remember if Cash had the gash. Oh, I just rhymed. I'm a poet, in case you didn't know it. I don't know if that happened in 2022, but here's my point. If you take away AAA matches, if you take away Ring of Honor matches, if you take away New Japan matches that took place on AEW television, if you take away 6-man tag matches with Wardlow and Punk and others, if you take away their singles matches and you strictly focus on FTR's matches under the AEW banner, In 2022, how many matches do you think FTR has wrestled as a tag team under the AEW record books? How many would you say? 20, 25, 30? Just so you realize, the Usos have wrestled 61 matches in 2022 as a tag team. We're not counting six-man. We're not counting with Roman Reigns. We're not counting singles matches. They have had 61 in 2022. FTR in 2022 have had a total of 7. And their record in 2022 in the AEW record books is 3 wins and 4 losses. Their 4 losses was a tag team match where they lost to CM Punk and Jon Moxley. They lost their, they were in the Casino Battle Royale, which the Young Bucks won. They lost another Battle Royal, which Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish won. And they lost very recently to Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland. That's their 4 losses. All right, you want to wipe away the Battle Royals? Hey, there were so many teams involved. Take away those 2 losses. Okay, you take away those 2 losses. That means their record in 2022 is 3 wins and 2 losses. Would you like to know who FTR defeated in the AEW record books for 2022? They have defeated Austin and Colton Gunn, Brock Anderson and Lee Johnson, and Miles Hawkins and Pat Brink. That is who FTR has defeated in the AEW record books for 2022. Tag team of the year for AEW? You fucking jerking me off? Are you kidding me? You want to put them tag team of the year in Pro Wrestling Illustrated? That's fine, because they cover everything. But for AEW, that's a fucking joke. Like I said, for the Full Gear pay-per-view, FTR doesn't have a match. And somebody asks Tony Khan in the media scrum, how come FTR doesn't have a match? Oh, we have a bloated roster. We have so many people with opportunity. It's fucking FTR. You make the room. You make the fucking room. Just wanted to bring that out there since no one else will. So, and honestly, it's not going to get attention. It's not going to get hundreds of likes. People aren't suddenly going to wake up and be like, oh my God, why aren't they used more? Bullshit, man. So anyway, opening Dynamite tonight, Moxley hits the ring. Moxley reminding everyone he is still the man, and he says that no one has the balls to challenge him. And he is greeted by the returning Hangman Page. And look, I liked the 2 lines that Jon Moxley gave Hangman Page. If I was Hangman Page, I would want to beat the fuck out of Moxley as well. Jon Moxley looks at him and says, are you sure you want to do this after last time? Do you even remember what happened last time? That was it. Hangman Page lost it. They brawled on inside the ring, outside the ring. They brawled in the front. They brawled in the back. They brawled later on, being broken up by security. Apparently, they were thrown out of the building as a result. So, and it's funny because when MJF attacked William Regal, you know, because they say too much sometimes. They're like, oh, MJF waited until Jon Moxley left the building. Wait, didn't Jon Moxley tell William Regal last week, don't walk, run? I'm going to make you bleed. I'm going to beat the fuck out of you for what you did. You don't walk, run. Run, Spider, run, run. Why would Jon Moxley have any sympathy for William Regal if he got his ass kicked? Logic, everyone, logic. So, good news is Hangman Page is back. And listen, he hasn't had a match, but you get that physical. You know, you move around and you brawl like they did today. You know, they're going to see how he feels later on. They're going to make sure no headaches. They want to make sure physically he feels good. And this will lead to a little feud between Moxley and Hangman Page. Personally, since Hangman Page, you know, even though he was not meant to win that night, the match was ended abruptly because of his injury scare. I would think logic would say that we should get a match between MJF, Jon Moxley, and Hangman Page in the near future. Moxley deserves a rematch. Hangman Page you know, because of the injury, I think people would want to see him get a little opportunity. You have a three-way. You know, you could have something where Hangman Page is about to pin Moxley to win the championship, and MJF could throw the motherfucker out of the ring and steal a victory. You know, it's not that hard to write it. So I think a three-way match, you know, should be coming. I don't know if they'll do it. They might. So, couple other things. The Ring of Honor-themed pay-per-view is coming up a week from this Saturday. Right now, we only have two matches announced. Chris Jericho defending the Ring of Honor championship against Claudio. And the stipulation is, if Claudio wins the match, he is the Ring of Honor champion. If Claudio loses, he is a member of the Jericho Appreciation Society. So much of Ring of Honor and honor and this and that, that they're actually doing a stipulation that he could join the Jericho Appreciation Society. And you know what? I haven't thought about predictions yet because we only have two matches announced, but I can't help but to think in the back of my mind, would not, you know, surprise me if Claudio loses and they throw him in the Jericho Appreciation Society. So the Blackpool Combat Club, which we did talk about 2 weeks ago that it is disbanding, that's why they teased a little bit of anger between Bryan Danielson and Wheeler Yuta 2 weeks ago. The BCC is disbanding. So you put Claudio in the Jericho Appreciation Society, you force Claudio out of the BCC. So as of right now, it would not surprise me if Claudio joins the Blackpool. Anybody looking forward to that storyline? I'm not. And by the way, when Wheeler Yuta was throwing little digs, the insults earlier, to all the guys that were sitting in the back, he looked at Angelo Parker, I think it was, and he said, oh, you wear suspenders while you're wearing a belt. Hey, Wheeler, open your eyes a little bit. Parker was not wearing a belt. In fact, the guy almost never wears a belt. In fact, I don't remember ever seeing him. When you do a Google image search, I don't think I've ever seen him wear a belt with suspenders. You know, an insult, you know, actually sounds good, but it also should make sense. You know, if I go up to EC3 and I say, hey, you fat fuck, why don't you come over here? You know, somebody might be like, ooh, but look at EC3. Does that apply to him at all? Or does somebody say, what are you talking about? Who's a fat fuck here? All right. Another person who made their return today, Ruby Soho. Hair color, a little bit changed to green. You know, a lot of people still don't realize that she was out because of a broken nose and surgery that she had to deal with. The surgery was a success, but it took quite some time for her to be able to breathe normally. And especially when it comes to wrestling and cardio, being able to breathe out of your nose is kind of an important thing. So, you know, I saw a lot of people today, you know, social media gets cute, but they get extra cute when they think they know everything. And people are like, oh, AEW finally decided to do something creatively with Ruby Soho in the last couple of months. She was out with an injury. That wasn't as good as this yesterday. We'll talk about Lyra Valkyria in a little bit. She is coming soon to NXT. Oh, and people were chomping at the bit to bring up Taya Valkyrie with that one. Oh, we're going to have fun with that in a little bit. Got to educate people. And you know what's sad about it? All the people that confronted Gail Kim yesterday for the remarks she made and all the minions on her page that, you know, stuck up for Gail Kim to throw shade at WWE. I watched person after person after person inform others that she's been using the name Valkyrie for quite some time. And she's actually used it even since her teenage days. And no one out there was like, hey, my bad. Oh, thanks for letting me know. I appreciate the info. No, you either have to throw shade and get hundreds of likes that way, but someone clears it up and gives you the answer and tells you, you know, hey, politely, you're wrong, and everybody ignores it. So we had Willow Nightingale beat Anna Jay tonight on Dynamite. After the match was over, we had Ty Mello come out, try to do a little interference. This sparked the return of Ruby Soho. Ruby gets her hands on Ty Mello once again. That feud will continue a little bit until Ruby Soho gets a decisive win over Tymelo, and then that storyline will go away. You know, we talked recently about Jay Cargill, who her next opponent will be. It could very well end up being Kira Hogan. The problem is, right now, as I said earlier, and it's a big deal, we don't know if Jay Cargill now is a babyface or a heel. You know, and honestly, Bow Wow is not showing up to be a heel. And something tells me Kira Hogan may end up being the next person. If they were going to treat Jay Cargill as a babyface, then I would have seen Athena come out and attack Jay Cargill. Athena has turned heel, and she's doing spectacular with it. Unfortunately, AEW has restricted her to YouTube, basically, with her shit. So once we have a decisive idea as far as where they're going with Jade Cargill, then we could pretty much figure out who her next opponent is going to be. All right. Ricky Starks over Ari Daivari. Ricky Starks announces he's going to be in the Dynamite Diamond Battle Royal next week. If Ricky Starks wins that too, then he's got two title shots coming up. Hey, he might get an extended feud winning two gimmick matches. Then we also had the Elite get their first victory in the best of seven over the Death Triangle. You know, I have talked about this since we recapped Full Gear. The Death Triangle are so talented. And the Elite, whether you like them or not, they are extremely talented. But I have no desire to watch these guys wrestle seven times in a row. You know, even if you do take a week off here and there. You know, if they did what they should have done was they should have added some stipulations. 1 week it's a cage match. 1 week it's anything goes. 1 week it's this. You know, but no, they're just having seven straight up matches. And what you end up with, because they're trying to be a little creative tonight, now you have something where Penta is going to use the hammer. And Rey Fénix, for some reason, you know, just like pauses Penta from using it. And, you know, it just exposes, you know, a lot of the stupidity in this. But this is going to go seven. And the Elite getting the victory today. I was a little surprised that they won today, because the Elite are going to come out on top with this. They are. And listen, you know, the House of Black returning last week was awesome. But I brought this up over the weekend, and, you know, it's still, I don't think it's sunk in for a lot of people. You got this feud between the Death Triangle and the Elite that's going to go to fucking February. Mid-January, at the earliest. We're in November, guys. I know November's just about over. But my point is, when do you think the House of Black is actually going to, like, feud for championship belts? They returned, great. Oh, the tag titles are all tied up. The trios titles, excuse me, are all tied up right now. So by the time they get an opportunity, you may not see the House of Black get a tag, trios tag team title shot until April, May. You know, and don't give me this long-term booking shit. So it's awesome that they're back. But what are you going to do? They're feuding with the Dark Order after all of this? And meanwhile, Ten decides he wants to hang with Rouge. I mean, that's the best you could do for the House of Black. It's nice that they returned. But does it feel like, hey, you know, imagine if Sasha Banks and Naomi returned. And everybody's excited to see them back. And their first feud is with Nikki A.S.H. and Doudrop. You don't think social media and an uproar would say, hey, Sasha, Naomi, we missed you. We're glad to see you back. But that's what they gave you? Get the fuck out. Tell Triple H what you told Johnny Ace. Get the fuck out. That's disrespectful. Nothing against the Dark Order. But that's the best you have for the House of Black? I don't know. Yeah, and the House of Black weren't even on tonight. And they're not even advertised for Friday. So, the Elite get their win. Am I forgetting any matches today? I don't think I am. We only had five matches. We had a lot of segments, obviously. Now, on Rampage Friday, they have QT Marshall getting a All-Atlantic championship title opportunity in a lumberjack match against Orange Cassidy. We have Darby Allin against Cole Carter. We have Private Party versus Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal, which is a little interesting. And then we have a bunch of talking segments. Saraya will talk, Swerve and Our Glory will talk, and the Acclaimed will talk. So that is what we have for Rampage. Next week, like I said, we have the Dynamite Diamond Battle Royal. Willa Yuta and Claudio Castagnoli, they will team up to take on Jake Hager and Daniel Garcia. Now, next week's Dynamite is the lead-in for the Ring of Honor-themed pay-per-view Final Battle. And tonight, they did a backstage segment where Renee Paquette was trying to interview the JAS minus the women and Jericho and Guevara and Yuta and Castagnoli. And what ended up resulting is the tag match for next week, but also Willa Yuta is going to get a shot at the Pure Championship again against Daniel Garcia at the Ring of Honor themed pay-per-view. Those are the only two matches announced so far. Samoa Joe tonight, actually there was a match that I forgot. Samoa Joe beat AR Fox, and it was a very quick match. The only thing that was really like confusing about it, please, this is not shit on AEW night. There's a lot of what I like tonight, but a lot of it really, you know, I feel like I smoked weed tonight, and I don't smoke weed. I feel like I really like lit up some Cheech and Chong quality babanya, because just picture this if you didn't see it. Samoa Joe defends tonight the TNT Championship against AR Fox. Now that in itself, even though AR Fox signed with AEW, is a very cool story. If you don't know about AR Fox, very, very good guy, trained people, you know, very likable, happy for the guy. Anybody out there, if you knew AR Fox's backstory, you would be extremely ecstatic for him. Why he's getting a TNT title opportunity, I have no idea. But just picture this. Samoa Joe beats AR Fox to retain the TNT title tonight. Samoa Joe immediately goes for his Ring of Honor championship. So now I'm thinking, okay, somebody's going to challenge him for the Ring of Honor TV title at Final Battle. Because remember, the original pay-per-view poster for the Ring of Honor themed pay-per-view had Samoa Joe in the front. So we get Wardlow. Cuts a promo from the back on the screen. And Wardlow says, I'm coming back to claim what's rightfully mine. And this is Wardlow's house. So I'm like, okay, let me get this straight. Samoa Joe just defended the TNT Championship. Right after the match is over, he's looking for the Ring of Honor title. He puts the Ring of Honor title in the air, and then we get interrupted by Wardlow, who wants his TNT Championship back. I don't know why they put the belt on Samoa Joe. Put it on fucking Hobbs. We don't need to see Hobbs walking into fucking 7-Elevens in L.A. and giving hugs to 80-year-old people, you know, who are, you know, treated like shit in their lifetime and like, oh, my God, Will. You know, just fucking put him in the ring, man. We know his story. Wardlow's world, excuse me, not Wardlow's house. It's Saraya's house. Or is it Britt Baker's house? At this point, I don't know whose house. All right. Let's get into a few other things. Let's just clear this up once and for all. Are you sick and tired of the last 7 days of all this clickbait that CM Punk is unhappy at the Elite's mockery of him last week in Chicago? And now you got people out there that are even trying to insinuate that this all could have been a work, to the point that people with blue check marks that are not paying $8 a month are actually making this claim that if CM Punk comes back and feuds with Kenny Omega, Tony Khan is going to be the booker of the decade. Let me make this perfectly clear, everyone. The foundation of AEW, the culture of AEW, is a major problem. And CM Punk doing what he did at that scrum, wrong place, not the most tasteful thing to do, but if CM Punk didn't do that, there is no one else in AEW that would speak up and confront this issue. CM Punk brought to the surface a major cultural problem within AEW. People keep trying to convince themselves that Tony Khan is some sympathetic, like, fawn, a deer in the woods and, you know, with headlights that, you know, can't control anything. That motherfucker is part of the culture. You know, everybody thinks, oh my God, you know, Guevara this, Guevara that. Fucking Guevara and him are like this. So Tony Khan is part of that culture. And that's why Tony Khan, when CM Punk was doing what he's doing, and Tony Khan's like, for people on audio only, I'm just nodding my head. Go back and watch the scrum and just focus on Tony Khan the entire time. You know, that's not a guy that was just shocked and dismayed. So people now trying to claim that this could be a work or turn into a storyline, or maybe better yet, it's like MJF. It was a shoot that turned into a work that might be part shoot and part work. Didn't they do the same thing about Cody Rhodes when we thought Cody Rhodes was leaving? Oh, no, 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 no. He's going to show up and he's going to run Ring of Honor. No, no, no. Cody Rhodes, he's going to feud with What these people are doing right now, everyone, is trying to, they can't figure out a smart conversation to have. So they're creating this narrative to spark all of you. Hey, what's that all about? Could this be a storyline? Holy shit. Yeah, maybe they can make amends. And then for the betterment of AEW, have a feud. If CM Punk came back, do you think that foundation improves at all? That company behind the scenes is so fucked up that we're now back to the year 2020. And if CM Punk was willing to come back, that doesn't solve the problem. You're basically trying to make money off of the fact that it is a fucked up foundation. It's like watching some of these reality shows where you're watching someone crash and burn. Their life is being destroyed. They're doing all this stuff because they feel like they're a celebrity. Meanwhile, everybody's eating the popcorn and tuning in and watching the drama. And you know that that person on the other side of the TV is fucked. It's fucked. It's entertaining. But you know that person, oh my God, you know, 6 months and that person is done. And then when it turns into a tragedy, oh my God, I feel so terrible, this, this, and that. This is not a storyline, everyone. And let me also make this clear. The Elite doing what they did on last Wednesday's Dynamite, they did not have to ask CM Punk for permission. CM Punk, I think a lot of people forget when Jeff Hardy did this. Anybody remember that screenshot of Jeff Hardy wasted in a diner talking about CM Punk? Fuck you. Fuck you. I think you take Ambien at night. Fuck you. Do you know where that all stems from, the Jeff Hardy hatred for CM Punk back then? Do you remember when CM Punk feuded with Jeff Hardy in WWE and CM Punk got really, really raw talking about prescriptions and talking about addiction and talking about alcohol and talking about all this other stuff? And then he ultimately trolled the fans by dressing up as Jeff Hardy. The thing is that Jeff Hardy was always irate at CM Punk because CM Punk never contacted Jeff Hardy to ask him if he's cool with him bringing this up or bringing that up and this, this, and that. A lot of it is WWE's fault. WWE took Jeff Hardy's addiction issues, turned it into storyline. That's not the first time we've seen it. It will not be the last time we've seen it. Hopefully it'll be the last time because Triple H is at the helm. We saw it recently with Jeff Hardy with his alcoholism and Sheamus. You know, so the thing is this. CM Punk, you know, if you go back in the annals of history, especially when someone ends up leaving a company, people are always mocked. When Bret Hart walked out of WWF at Survivor Series 1997 on Raw the next day, they had a midget Bret Hart on the fucking screen. So we could bring up countless examples. So what the Elite did last Wednesday is no different than what others have done mocking people over the years. The reason why they did that last week is because they were in fucking Chicago. They were going to maximize the entertainment value by trolling the hometown hero CM Punk. The Elite did not need to ask CM Punk for permission. The Elite did not troll CM Punk tonight pretty much at all. They did not get a warning from Principal Khan, you know, cut that out. No. They took advantage that they were in Chicago last week, and no matter what they would have done, they would have been booed out of the fucking building. CM Punk did not give a rat's ass what the Elite did last week. People are writing CM Punk tremendously unhappy. Says who? Says who? Did you deliver milk to his house? Did you deliver mail? Did you bring Uber Eats to his door? Did him and AJ have Chinese food and you delivered the food and you heard CM Punk say those motherfucking elites? People were writing that CM Punk was happy not even 2 hours after Dynamite went off the air. No one out there spoke to CM Punk. All right. But a week later, people are now realizing he didn't fucking care. He doesn't give a shit about the Elite. If anything, they're proving his point of what he said that night. Do you remember the Imperium segment with the New Day last week on SmackDown? When Imperium showed up and Kofi and Xavier Woods were there and the Imperium were talking about how they're bringing respect back to wrestling and not the childish, goofy shit that you did for 8 years, embarrassing the world of pro wrestling. And what did that storyline, but what did the New Day do? They started mocking Imperium's accent. They started making fun, calling him, I think, Lurch from the Adams Family, whatever. And all Gunther did was look at him and say, thank you for proving my point. Now, that's storyline. But for CM Punk, it's the same thing. Hey, thank you for proving my point. Everything that I said that night at the media scrum, you see, the night of the pay-per-view, they were encouraging the fuck CM Punk chants. Everybody's like, no, the camera only flashed for a second. You know, this is the culture there. So, you know, for people reporting that he was unhappy, again, it's the same shit about Regal. It's the same shit about MJF. It's all, do a YouTube search. And in the advanced section, search by viewer count. And then search by this month and look at all of these major podcasts out there that get hundreds of thousands of views who told you that MJF turned babyface. That, and you look at the bold block fonts and all the facial reactions and the people like, and they're like all talking about it as if it was fact and they were all wrong. So now tonight, you know what's going to happen? They're going to show William Regal on the stretcher and you're going to see those same goofs. Instead of showing a face like, hey, I fucked up, you're like, no, they're going to be like, morons. Okay, so let's move on to NXT. First of all, let me give you some quick results from yesterday. Roxanne Perez over Indy Hartwell. Dijak over Dante Chen. Grayson Waller over Duke Hudson. Duke Hudson tried to do some Hulk Hogan yesterday and actually got over. I don't like Duke Hudson in Chase University, but when he started hulking up and instead of pointing, he went like this. It actually got over with the fans a little bit, and I have a feeling they may actually build on that, but, you know, still, I'm not feeling Duke Hudson and Chase University. Kiana James over Fallon Henley. Axiom over Javier Bernal. Judas Creed over J.D. McDonough by disqualification. J.D. introduced a chair. And for some reason, Sangha, like, pushes Julius Creed out of the way, gets whacked with a chair, and I'm like, wait, didn't, like, they call out the Creed brothers the week before? Whatever. Von Wagner over Malik Blade, and Toxic Attraction in the main event defeated Nikita Lyons, Katana Chance, and Kaden Carter. Earlier in the night, we were going to have the match at the beginning of Hour 2, but it did not happen because we had Zoe Stark show up and attack Nikita Lyons. Nikita Lyons lying to the trainers that she was not injured, so they let her perform in the main event, but obviously in storyline, she was much more injured. Toxic Attraction took advantage, and they defeated Nikita Lyons. Now, let's talk about the Iron Survivor Challenge, and let's talk about scripts. And then we'll start bringing this home, because believe it or not, we're already almost an hour and we want to stay around an hour. Yeah, Charlie, I mentioned it earlier. Congratulations to Mandy Rose, 400 days. Well-deserved. I don't know why she doesn't get more respect. She has improved significantly in the last 400 days. And she's legit. She's legit. Am I comparing her to Trish Stratus? Absolutely not. But it does remind me a little bit of Trish Stratus back in the day when she was more of a swimsuit model, when she was the valet for Teston Albert. And then slowly, she started training and getting better. And you started to see that there was a point where Trish Stratus wasn't at the level yet, was not feuding with Lita yet. But there was a point where people started to say back in the, I think the late 90s, that, wow, she's taking this shit seriously. And unfortunately, they ended up doing storylines with her and Vince McMahon and barking like a dog and this, this, and that. But you saw between the lines that Trish Stratus was taking her in-ring work very, very seriously. Mandy Rose is taking her in-ring work very, very seriously. Is she on the upper echelon yet, you know, in the levels of Charlotte Flair? No, no. But compared to 400 days ago, great job, Mandy Rose. Great job. So, yesterday, we found out most of the participants for the Iron Survivor Challenge. And I got a kick out of it. We had the Road Dogg, X-Pac, Molly Holly, and Alondra Blaze, a.k.a. Medusa, join Shawn Michaels, and they're talking about who the participants should be in the Iron Survivor Challenge. That's going to take place a week from Saturday. By the way, the Ring of Honor themed pay-per-view is going to take place Saturday afternoon at 4 p.m., a week from this Saturday. That night, NXT has deadline. So mark it down. You're going to have two recaps going coming up. But I, first of all, I got a kick out of all the Hall of Famers yesterday talking about all the participants, who should be in and who's not, because you know for a fact that maybe they follow NXT a little bit, but there ain't no way those Hall of Famers knew that much about those participants that deep. But it was cool to see them all give their input. Now, because everything gets milked an extra week or two, we got to get used to it. On the main roster, it gets milked 3, 4, 5 extra weeks. Recently, look at Dexter Lumis and The Miz. That, I think everybody agrees that storyline feud should have ended maybe 3 weeks ago. But we got 4 of the 5 participants in each of the Iron Survivor challenges. And so far, we know that on the men's side, it's going to be Grayson Waller, JD McDonagh, Carmelo Hayes, and Joe Gacy. On the women's side, we have Kiana James, Zoe Stark, Cora Jade, and Roxanne Perez. Next week, we will have a pair of triple threat matches, and the winner of each match will be added to the Iron Survivor Challenge. On the women's side, it is going to be Wendy Chu versus Fallon Henley versus Indy Hartwell. And I know a lot of people are rooting for Indy Hartwell because they see Dexter and Johnny Gargano and, you know, Candice LeRae on the main roster, and they really want to see her join them. So a lot of people feel, you know what? And let me tell you something. If you didn't see NXT yesterday, Indy Hartwell and Roxanne Perez put on a really, really good match. A hell of a lot better than I expected it to be. I would not mind them to go at it further. So I'm hoping Indy Hartwell actually wins. I know, you know, there's that storyline with Fallon Henley and maybe, you know, Brooks and Jensen. One member is kind of like infatuated with Kiana James. But I hope Indy Hartwell advances. I want to see her get a little bit of an opportunity. You know, her versus Mandy Rose, I'm not sure if I want to see that yet. But, you know, I'm kind of rooting for Indy Hartwell. Now, on the men's side, we have Von Wagner, who I admitted yesterday on Patreon, I'm now a fan of Von Wagner, actually enjoying his work. I think Von Wagner has a very bright future in WWE. I'm not a huge fan of Von Wagner, but he's starting to get it. His promos, just look at his promos from a year ago compared to now. and you'll be surprised, but it's going to be Von Wagner versus Axiom versus Andre Chase. I love Andre Chase. I love the vulgarity, comedic stuff, but for me, I kind of think they may put Axiom in it, but I'm actually rooting for Von Wagner to actually get put in that match. Sure, we're not going to see Von Wagner versus Bron Breakker again. And obviously, if Axiom enters that Iron Survivor Challenge, Axiom is not going to win it either. But so I don't think any of those three will end up winning the whole thing. A lot of people think it's going to be Carmelo Hayes. And let me tell you something. Carmelo Hayes versus Bron Breakker, I think I might actually root for Carmelo Hayes in that one. Carmelo Hayes has to hold NXT gold, at least, I'm talking about heavyweight gold, at least once before he comes to the main roster. So we'll see what happens. By the way, they had a segment yesterday with Bron Breakker and Apollo Crews at the diner. And you remember my, you know, comedic conversations about Apollo Crews at the diner, especially most of the times he never ordered food, which was pretty funny. But their breakfast looked pretty good yesterday. I was kind of tempted to make some eggs. A lot of people are making fun of Dijak with the leather jacket and the glasses. People comparing him looking like the Terminator. To me, he looks more like Sylvester Stallone in the movie Cobra. But Dijakovic, you know, hey, I wouldn't mind seeing Dijakovic versus Bron Breakker. But, you know, unfortunately, they debuted him or re-debuted him, his return, a little too close to NXT deadline. So he's not going to, you know, get a shot in that match. Someone else that's not going to get a shot in the match is Scripps. Now, before we talk about Scripps, doesn't he look so happy in that picture, everyone? People are like, where did you get that picture? Doesn't he look so happy? He looks so fucking ecstatic. We'll talk about Reggie in a moment. Before anything, I just wanted to clear this up. Like I said earlier, Lyra Valkyria is going to be debuting on NXT soon. She wrestled for NXT UK for a little bit. There is a great match online of her versus Maiko Satomura. If you want to go see a little bit of what she can actually do. But, you know, yesterday people trying to stir it up that, oh, look, NXT, WWE, they're using a name that's so close to the name Taya Valkyrie. My suggestion to anyone out there that has seen that or is thinking about playing that game, do a little history, you know, search about Lyra Valkyria. She has been using that name, Valkyria, for a very, very, very long time. And not only that, Lyra, I believe, is an Irish name, and she is Irish. So there is a lot more to this, and no, I don't think in any way, shape, or form that WWE is using a name so close. I mean, in the past, we had some names that seemed like it was too close to an athlete. The first one that always comes to mind for me is Kenny Dykstra. Anybody out there that was a baseball fan in the 80s and the 90s, you know, I mean, I used to love Lenny Dykstra. You know, his political views are a little bit wacky at times, but when they debuted Kenny Dykstra, I'm like, hey, that sounds too much like Lenny Dykstra. And we've had some names debut over the years that are very, very close to other names. So, before we jet out of here, let's talk a moment about Scripps. If you saw my thumbnail last week, Reggie made his NXT debut as Scripps. Now, something interesting happened last week on social media. If you have about 5 or 10 minutes to kill later, if you want to go see it for yourselves, I'll tell you exactly what to do, and you'll see it, and it's pretty funny. I could give you a very condensed version of it as well, okay? Last week, Scripps debuted in hour number 2 of NXT. That was November 22nd, by the way. When NXT went off the air, it was 10 o'clock p.m., 10.05 p.m. So there was a little less than 2 hours left in the date, November 22nd. Now, if you want a very condensed version of what I'm going to tell you, what you could do instead is go on WWE's Twitter page, their NXT Twitter page, and just click on the thread of Scripps' debut from last Tuesday. Just click on that thread that they posted that night. But you got to look at the responses in date and time order, because something fascinating went down last week, that night of NXT. And it changed. It did a 180 within a couple of hours. When Scripps debuted in NXT last week as Reggie, when NXT posted the thread, if you read it in time order, you will see about 75%, maybe even more, of the people responding saying he looked great, cool to see Reggie back, I'll give it a shot. This at about three quarters of the comments were all positive. Some people a little too over the top. He looked amazing, this, this, and that. Then the criticisms started to float in. And not only was it just regular fans, almost every podcast out there, almost every news site poking fun, calling this Shockmaster territory. And me, when I saw it, my first reaction was, I was thinking back to all the cryptic messages. Do you remember a week before we were talking about how it felt a little bit like retribution? He's spray painting walls. He's talking about he's going to show up in NXT and watch the whole company fall. Whoever this was wanted to hurt NXT. And if you go back at news sites before his debut, a lot of people thought it was going to be Nash Carter. Some people thought it was going to be a woman. Some people, you know, some people did say, hey, maybe it's Reggie. But most people thought it was going to be Nash Carter. But everybody agreed that whoever it was had a major vendetta with NXT. And they were showing up. He or she was going to show up to watch NXT fall. Now, imagine, and I brought this up yesterday, imagine, you know, like somebody wants to see a company destruct, or you want to commit a major crime against any type of business, or you want to vandalize a business. You know, you show up and you want to rob a place, or you want to destroy a business. You get a sledgehammer, you break the glass, you break the windows, you turn things upside down, you throw things on the floor, you break everything. This motherfucker shows up. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking about all the things that he said in his promos leading up to it. And this guy's doing flippy shit. He's doing 360s. He's doing planches. Yeah, I'm going to kill you. And he flips like five times. And I'm like, are you kidding me? He's doing like Matrix stuff. You know, it was ridiculous. It was awful. It was terrible. Plus, he looked ridiculous in his outfit. So within about 2 hours, the majority of the people and the people who get the most attention online were all ripping this to shreds. Within 3 hours of Scripps' debut in NXT, 90 to 95% of everything that was posted was beyond negative. Laughing at it, calling it the worst gimmick in recent memory, the most ridiculous moment of the year. Just, I mean, people really going out of their way to rip this shit apart. And if you remember us making fun of that WrestleOps Twitter account when the Bloodline won at War Games, you saw that tweet that they posted, and then they realized 5 minutes later it's not getting the attention they should have, so they deleted it and wrote the complete opposite, and it got 50,000 likes. So within 3 hours, Reggie was buried online. So me, I do have a few connections. I'm not a news reporter. I opine. I give opinions, analysis, and I discuss. If I want to get an answer to something, I will, you know, contact someone. But as you learned with all the sausage that we put up, especially in July and August, 95%, the only item that we talked about that has not happened yet was Vince McMahon in the Hall of Fame, and Sasha and Naomi returning. But every topic that we talked about ended up being true, even when we said that some WWE Hall of Famers are lobbying for Vince to be put in the WWE Hall of Fame for 2023 or 2024, especially with Hollywood. But the thing is, you know, if I want an answer for something, I try to get it. So here's a little sausage for everyone out there. The debut of Scripps last week was such a disaster, and it has turned into a horrible joke that WWE is already are working on changing this character ASAP. Am I saying that they are getting rid of Scripps right away? No, they're not going to do that, because it'll go down in the annals of history as one of the most ultimate wrestle crap disasters, even though it was only one match in their minor league system. So they're not going to drop it entirely. But they realized very, very quickly that Reggie is the brunt of some ridiculously funny jokes out there. And the thing is, and here's the problem about it, Reggie's arsenal is what you saw. Reggie, during all his time, has not worked on ground game and being straight up. This guy has to do Cirque du Soleil or whatever that shit is. He's got to be like a clown. And I hate to use a term to bite off of Jim Cornette, but it's a different version of a clown show. He's got to be a circus routine. He's got to be Matrix. He's got to do flippy flippy. He's got to go into the ring like Kalisto and others. This guy's entire arsenal is based on acrobatics. So suddenly you got a major problem. You got a guy spray painting, and you got a guy threatening to see NXT decline, and he's showing up and he's doing all these acrobatic stuff. You know, sorry, if somebody, you know, like, you know, grabs me in the middle of the night, give me your fucking money, and he starts jumping up and down and bouncing around like a bad cartoon, you know, I would just stand there and watch and just wait for the person to get winded, and then I just punch him in the mouth. So WWE is already making substantial changes to Scripps. What those changes will be, I have no idea. But WWE has realized his debut has been a flop, and it goes totally against the build of that character. People expected retribution, and they got Bugs Bunny. So we'll see what happens. He was not on yesterday. It was very, you know, little mention of him online other than people curious to see what bullshit disaster was going to happen next with him. And you want to know something? Look, you know, Reggie is a likable guy for a lot of people out there. And I do believe that the guy is a likable guy. And, you know, yes, maybe, you know, he got too much play on TV back in the day because he was not a good wrestler. And the 24/7 stuff was way overdue. You know, his shit was kind of dopey. The stuff with Dana Brooke was just awful. So you want to root for him to get a little bit better and do something. And look at the picture. Does that look like a guy who's laughing? Does that look like a guy who's happy? Now, of course, he wanted NXT's demise, but unfortunately, his demise ended up happening in the process. So some major, major changes are coming for Scripps. As I coined the little pun earlier, WWE is changing the script. It's true. All right, before I get out of here, just a couple of quick shout-outs, if you don't mind. Once again, I want to thank for the kind words earlier, Martin Hatchduck, thank you again for the 10 spot, my friend. I really appreciate it. Everything helps, believe me. And thank you all for always supporting what I do. You know, whether you subscribe, channel member, Patreon, anything, super chat, you know, regular chat, emails. By the way, if you all want to take part in a poll, two things. I guess we can announce this right now. I already have a thread in the community section, if you want to be part of it. Let me just pull this up. Next Thursday, why didn't this clear off? Hold on a second. Why didn't this clear off? Hold on. Oh, here we go. Okay. Next Thursday, we're going to do a mailbag. December 8th. I'll record it probably Wednesday the 7th, and it'll be posted Thursday afternoon for everyone around 12 noon Eastern. So next Thursday will be the next mailbag. But here's the thing. Last week, I did a state of the channel, some little tweaks that we're doing. And, you know, if you didn't check out that video yet, go check it out. It's about 25 minutes long, but there are some changes. And all of it is to make your experience with the content even more enjoyable and a better time. I got a lot of feedback from a lot of you. Posted publicly, DMs, emails, whatever. Something that a lot of you brought up, and I posted a poll tonight, and majority will decide this. I want to do a mailbag once a month. And the problem is, some people out there don't want to wait a whole month to have a question answered. Some people, unfortunately, take a little bit of advantage and they'll send 10 questions in. So a few of you out there gave me the idea, DT, why don't you do a weekly mailbag? But keep it brief. 10 questions a week. 10 questions with DT. 20 questions with DT. Not 10 from one person, but every week, answer 10 questions. So there's a thread right now in the community section on YouTube, and I post it there because everyone has access to that. Vote. Let me know if you want a mailbag once a month, or do you want it weekly, but every week we just answer about 10, 15 questions, keep the video like 20 minutes long, and in this way, every week, you know, we answer questions and we keep it fresh. I'm fine with either way, but definitely vote, because next Thursday is going to be the first mailbag, and if it ends up going weekly, then, you know, we'll tweak it a little bit and we'll change it to like 20 questions with DT or 10 questions with DT. So, all right. Yeah, so with that said, I think we are done. I'm looking at my notes. I don't think we have anything else to get into. I do know that NXT's rating yesterday was 644,000, up from last week's 624. Rampage, I think, only did 411. But first of all, they were on Black Friday, Thanksgiving, holiday weekend, and it was in the afternoon, not the normal time slot. With all due respect to Dave Meltzer, I don't think it was needed for you to bring up that the ratings were better than when they had to have a special day on Memorial Day. This ain't Memorial Day. This is Thanksgiving weekend. You know, I think the biggest problem that AEW has is people are always trying to make an excuse for everything. You know, if something is down, there's always an excuse behind it. Yes, but this. Yes, but this. Oh, well, look at it like this. No, stop making excuses. You know, people are always trying to make something look rosy. You know, if I'm AEW, I'm never satisfied with my numbers. I'm never satisfied with the reception, with the feedback. You always want to feel like you want more, you want bigger, you want better. And there's too many people out there that try to give this narrative like, oh, no, everything's fine. The only reason why that was so low is because of this. You know, look at Memorial Day. Look at Labor Day. Look at this. You know, remember that number? All right. So I want to thank everybody for joining me tonight. One last comment before we get out of here, because it's something that I know a lot of you keep asking. You know, unfortunately, Kent and everyone else that is going to look this up with Adam Cole, you give it about a week, and you will have the usual websites report the same thing. Unfortunately for Adam Cole, his issues with his concussion are pretty much the same as what it was a couple of months ago. He still is having symptoms of it. It is getting better extremely slow, slower than anybody ever anticipated. And unfortunately, you know, it's going to take a little bit more time. Now, we ain't Adam Cole's doctor. We don't hang out with Adam Cole. No one online, you know, maybe they Twitch with him and they'll send him, you know, coins or whatever, you know, cheer. I don't even know what that shit is. But unless Adam Cole gives an update, there really is no update. Listen, I would fucking love it if a week from now with the Battle Royal, or a month from now, or in early 2023, the lights go off, they come back on, and Adam Cole's in the middle of the fucking ring. That would be an awesome, pleasant surprise. I hope we get it. But unfortunately, there has been no signs of Adam Cole working out at the factory. There's been no signs of Adam Cole training with others for a return. He has not provided any update online. Me, I would keep it hush hush, and I think that would be an awesome surprise for everyone. But you know, you don't want to keep your hopes up because his concussion was a lot more serious. Look, there were some people that have said that they're concerned. They don't even know if this guy will ever return back to the ring. But I will say this. If you remember about 2 or 3 weeks ago, a whole bunch of websites were writing concern for Adam Cole. Realize that all those people did was recycle what was said 2 months ago. There was no change. There was no change to his status. So what we knew 3 months ago is the same as 2 months ago and is the same as a month ago. So unfortunately right now, no update with Adam Cole. I wish we had something. You know, Adam Cole, I know he's not watching this, but even if they want to keep it as a surprise, I would love for him to be able to give people some type of update where at least people could have a little bit more than just hope, you know, because Adam Cole inside the ring is very much an upgrade no matter what company is a part of. Even if he's used sparingly, and believe me, if he returns, expect him to be used very sparingly. But hey, don't rule it out. Don't rule it out. So, yeah, Britt Baker knows where Adam Cole is. Absolutely, Rams fan. But, you know, unfortunately, they're not going to divulge that information for us, with us. We just hope that he can return soon. So, all right, everyone. If you enjoyed tonight's episode, take a moment, smash that thumbs up. I appreciate Chaos, what you wrote. But, yeah, we ain't hitting the 200 tonight because, you know, people will get out of here and, you know, not everybody interacts, which is okay. No, you're not required, everyone. But if you want to join me Saturday morning, 11:05 a.m., I will be here for the Don Tony Show. Got a couple of stories that we're going to be working on, and we're going to have a discussion about Roman Reigns. Something that we touched on yesterday, and I definitely think it's something very important that people have to start thinking about. And, you know, without getting into it here, you know, once Roman Reigns drops those championships, it's got to come to a point where Roman Reigns is going to be downgraded. And not because he's getting older and not because, you know, he's a part-time wrestler, but because, you know, Roman Reigns has been so dominant during this COVID era especially that he is so far above everyone else, they got to even the playing field a little bit. So Roman Reigns losing some matches, Roman Reigns, you know, going for the U.S. title or the IC title, it sounds awkward, doesn't it? I mean, we were talking about Hogan yesterday. I mean, we're not comparing Hogan to Roman Reigns, but, you know, think back to when Hulk Hogan was in his prime in WWF. Nobody ever thought about him going for the IC title, you know. The U.S. title was still part of WCW or the NWA. But Roman Reigns, you know, we have to start preparing ourselves for major changes with his in-ring work, not because of the part-time player, but because we are not going to get that unbelievable dominance, and they can't. They have to even the playing field a little bit. And you know you're going to get that noise that he's being buried, he's being this, and we got to start talking about it because it's a big deal. So thank you, Chris, for the kind words, and I thank you all for joining me tonight, and I hope you could join me, you know, live Saturday morning, 11:05 a.m. If you can't make it, you know, if you're busy over the weekend, as long as you tune in somewhere, whether it's video on YouTube or audio only on Blue Wire, wherever you check out the shows is appreciated. And don't forget Blue Wire, because still to this day, about 85 to 90% of you out there normally access my content on the audio, the MP3 versions. No reason to see my ugly face, you know, especially if you're driving and working and stuff like that. Who wants to watch video? So you listen to the shows with audio. And if there's something that I'm showing that, you know, you might want to go see, then you could always stop on YouTube, check it out. But for the most part, majority of you still audio only. And that's awesome. So, you know, however you access the shows, as long as you tune in, best thing you can do for yours truly. So everyone, have a great night. Post your feedback in the comment section. You know, what do you think about some of the things that happened tonight on Dynamite? What do you think about William Regal's future? You know, even if he does return, you know, what does he do? Who does he align with? you know, what's his role? I mean, you almost feel like he's left with nothing. I mean, what do you actually do? I don't know what you do. But as of right now, I'm going to trust the person who said to me that they're giving William Regal a little bit of a break. So how long that break is, only time will tell. And I hope he does clarify some of it, the contract, on his podcast. That's what his podcast is for, right? Night, everybody.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.